Good morning, everybody. And good morning to everybody online. It's lovely to see you today and to be here to minister God's word to you. I'm going to be ministering a little bit along the similar lines to what Pastor Pamela ministered last week. That was a great message that she preached about Jonathan and his armor bearer going up against the Philistines and defeating them and with the sword. And so I'm going to be taking a little bit of that theme this morning. The greatest king that Israel ever had was David. He was an incredible man of God, but he was an incredible man of war. But what a lot of people don't realize, not only was he, he was specialized in warfare, but he was also a great praiser. Such opposites. He wrote beautiful, beautiful songs and poems and put them to music. He was a man who knew how to worship and praise God, and he was a man who knew how to fight for the things of God. And all the battles that David fought was on God's behalf, were for God. And David, it's not recorded that he ever lost a single battle that he went out to, that was when he was with his men, never lost a battle. And I want to begin by reading 1 Samuel chapter 22. And this is an interesting scripture, 1 Samuel 22. And David was serving Saul before David became the king, and Saul was the king. And Saul became jealous of David, insanely jealous, that he tried to kill him. So much so that David had to escape from Saul, who had got 3,000 men searching for him. Saul wanted David dead or alive. So this was a very serious thing. David had to leave his home, his family, his friends, everything. He had to leave his wife. He lost everything, and he was on the run. And we pick this up in 1 Samuel 22, and it says, David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him. And those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him. Isn't that interesting? He went and hid in the caves of Adullam. And when his dad heard about it, the family, they came down to where he was. But also, other people in Israel joined him. Men who were, and this is quite interesting, isn't it? Men who were in debt, men who were distressed, men who were discontented. About 400 of these men joined him. They weren't necessarily soldiers. Some of them were just farmers. They weren't soldiers, but they were not liking what was happening in Israel through this King Saul who was doing things he shouldn't be doing and not leading the people the way that God wanted him to. And so they left Saul, joined with David, knowing in their hearts that one day David would become king. So this is the beginning of David's great army. This number spread to about 600 men over a period of time. And these men were with David all the days of David's life, right to the end. They stayed with him. They had their families, and so there was quite a big crowd of them. They brought wives and children, and they stayed with David, and they tried to hide from Saul, for 3,000 were seeking David's life. And so for a number of years they were on the run, and then when David became king, they served him faithfully. These men became great, great fighting men. But what is interesting is that this is a picture, if you like, of David. It says that David became their leader. Now, there's a lovely scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm sure a lot of you will know this, and this is Paul speaking to the church. And he says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. I'm waiting for an amen. Not many of you were influential. Not many of you were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. Isn't that an interesting scripture? If you're in church this morning, it's not because you're clever, not because you're noble. It's not because you're wise, it's because you're foolish and weak. But God took you. Like these men that came to join David and David became their leader, just as we've joined Jesus and Jesus has become our leader. They joined David, who was an outcast. They were joined David that King Saul didn't want. He wanted him dead. They joined a man who was an outcast, and they were nobodies. They were in trouble themselves. They were in debt, discontented, disillusioned. They joined David, and David made them into a great fighting army. Well, we've joined Jesus. How many of you know Jesus was an outcast? How many of you know Jesus was crucified outside the city? They didn't want Jesus. They said, we don't want this man. We don't want this man to rule over us. That's what they said to Pilate. Crucify him. Well, we've joined him. And we're, not many of us are wise. I'm glad it says not many, because some are wise. I'm glad it says not many are noble, because some are noble. But I joined not the noble bunch. I joined that bunch that's going to take 2 hours to run those 4 kilometers. That's a bunch that I join. But by following Jesus, something has happened. See, David whipped these men into powerful armies. God has taken hold of you and me and made us strong in him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I've been a Christian now for 64 years. Hallelujah. And I've never, ever regretted a single moment of becoming a Christian. I've not always been a good Christian. I've not always been a strong Christian. In times I've been very weak, but I have never, ever, ever at all regretted coming to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I was just talking to somebody the other day and I was saying to them, I love church. I love church. I love church. Listen to this, and this, I'm telling you the truth here. 64 years I've been going to church. When I got saved at the age of 15, I'm now 80, 64 years. I can count on one hand the number of times in 64 years I did not go to church on a Sunday. Did you hear that? I can count on one hand. In fact, only once was I away because of sickness, and I was in a hospital and having my nose fixed. That's the only time, but other times I couldn't get because of circumstances, but it's less than 5 times in 64 years. Do you know why? Because I love church. Yes. I reckon church is good. Yes. I reckon church is wonderful. Yes. I reckon church is marvelous. I reckon church is a place where you can grow, where you meet beautiful Christians and become friendly with Christians, and they help you. The fellowship and the community of Christianity helps you. I meet people that look, I love you. I know you're not perfect. You're not like me. I know that. I know you're not perfect. I know that. And I'm not. We're not perfect. We have weaknesses. But I don't go around pointing the finger at Christians because they're weak. I don't do that because I know myself. But for the grace of God, there go I. I love church. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to say it again. I love church. Everybody online, listen to me. I love church. Amen. Don't let being online become a substitute for coming to meet in the house of God with God's people. Amen. I wasn't going to say that, but I've said it anyway. And if you're upset about it, tough. So God's chosen us who are nothing and nobodies, that we might confound the wise of this world. That's what it says. If you go on and read that scripture, it's a beautiful, beautiful. We can shame this world. God has chosen us, and God looks upon us, and we're precious in his sight. Now, these men of David became, many of them, great fighting men. And it lists in 2 Samuel, chapter 23, 30 of the great men. There was, out of these great men, 30 were greater. And out of these 30, others were greater. And that chapter, and you can read it in your leisure, is telling us of some of the exploits that these men did, incredible exploits for God, fighting on behalf of David and the kingdom of God, fighting against the enemy, and the exploits were incredible what they did. The title of my message this morning is Make a Stand, Make a Stand. And as we're reading, we read of two men particularly. One is called Eleazar, the son of Dodane, and another guy's called Shammah, the son of Agean. He says, this is Eleazar. This is what he says. The Philistines were attacking them. And maybe David wasn't with them that day, but for some reason, the Israeli troops ran. They took off. They withdrew. But this man, Eleazar, it says, but he stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. Isn't that incredible? What about that day? They'd ran. And this guy is refusing to run. And the Philistines, which were a barbarous people, a ruthless people, came for him. He drew his sword. Pastor Pam asked me if I wanted to use a sword that she used last week, but I'm a bit dangerous with that. She did a very good job. But he drew his sword. And notice, I'm holding up my left hand. Because, Vicky, we're left-handed. So we would have fought with a left-hand sword, wouldn't we? So he drew his sword. And he went for them. He stood his ground and he slew them. And he became tired in this battle. And it says the sword, it became part of his hand. I just like that. The sword froze to his hand. When he'd finished, he couldn't let it go. They would have had to prise his fingers open to get the sword. I thought, what a wonderful example of being a Christian that is. Letting, you remember what the scripture says? The sword of the Spirit is? Oh, come on, a bit better than that, please. The sword of the Spirit is? Even better than that. The sword of the Spirit is? The Word of God. The Bible is our sword. And when the enemy comes against us, hey, let the Word of God freeze to our hand. Let it stick to our hand. Let it be in our heart, in our mouth. Don't let nobody prize it out of our hand. Let's get hold of the Word of God and battle for God in the things of God with the Word of God. Amen. And then this next guy, and I like this next guy, because they returned only to strip. I like that, by the way. They returned the troops, but the work was done. By one man. But by the way, let me just say this. You may feel, well, I'm only one. I'm nothing. Where I work, I'm nothing. My household, I'm nothing. I'm just one person. Well, are you listening? One person and God is a majority.
Yes.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
One person and God is a majority. So don't start feeling sorry for yourself if you've got God. You should not, but you should be feeling sorry for the others. Because if you've got God, you're in the majority. And then he says this, and I like this, when he says, where are we up to now? Okay, but Shammah, this is a man called Shammah, but Shammah took his stand. Can we read it all? It was like the full amount. He says, okay, I'll tell you the first bit before we read this. Shammah and the soldiers, again, it was under David's command, but David wasn't there for some reason. And the Philistines were giving him a tough time. And he said a band of Philistines came over the hill. They saw all these Philistines. And the troop of the Israelites ran off. And Shammah didn't. And this is what it says. But Shammah stood his ground. Shammah took his sword in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down. And the Lord brought about a great victory. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field, and it was a lentil patch. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. I was wondering, what was Shammah doing that day? He was outnumbered. The Philistines were more than what they were. He was only in a lentil patch. Well, man, you could defend some things, but who wants to defend a lentil patch? What is it about a lentil patch that you want to stay and defend? But they came. And he looked around. The other troops, they went. His mates, they went. They're gone. And he was on his own. He drew his sword. He was on his own. What would you do? Well, you'd say the wisest thing, Shammah, run. A lentil patch isn't worth it, man. Get out of there and you'll live to fight another day. But for some reason, Shammah said, nah, I'm not running anymore. The Philistines have been chasing us too much. We keep turning our backs and we keep running. I'm sick and tired of running. I'm fed up of giving up. I'm stopping running. I'm not going to give up. I'm here. I'm digging. I can see him in his mind's eye as these Philistines are coming towards him. And he doesn't know in the natural whether he's going to be cut to pieces, but he says, I've had enough of running. I'm standing my ground. He took his sword and they came for him and he killed every single one. Do you know why? Because one man and God is a majority. Come on, he was fighting on behalf of God. He got to the place where he was so tired of running, he didn't want to run anymore. He stood his ground. Now, there's a beautiful scripture that a lot of you will know in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Often when Paul is talking about the church, he uses different things to describe the church. He describes the church as the bride of Christ. He describes the church as we're in a race. Athletics, running a race, preparing for a race. He also describes the church as an army. Of course, that's where the Salvation Army got their name from, the Salvation Army, because Paul was describing it as an army. And Paul, when he writes this, is in prison. He's in Rome in prison. And Roman soldiers are guarding him. And I think he's looking at these Roman soldiers, been writing this beautiful letter to the Ephesians. And as he's looking at these soldiers, he's thinking, yeah, they're fighters. They're men of warfare. Well, we are as well. Can I just say this? I believe in gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this lowly child. I believe that. I used to pray that with the kids when they were young. Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this lowly child. But there's another side to Jesus. He's tough. He's stubborn. Come on. He's a fighter. He didn't give up. He stood his ground, did Jesus. And can I say to you right now that there's a sense in which we fight. And as Paul says here, but we don't fight flesh and blood. We're not fighting each other. We're not fighting people out there. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual evil in heavenly places. There's something wrong with this world, something dreadfully wrong, something so wrong with this world that psychiatrists and psychologists can't describe. They don't know why. They don't know why men do the evil that they do. They don't understand why people break out with such evil in this world and do such horrible, shameful things to children. Do you know the slave trade for women is still rampant today? Millions of women are sold as slaves, sex slaves, every year, half of whom are children. And only 1% are ever recovered from being kidnapped. That's the world you live in. That's evil. That is evil. And Paul realized that this world is wrong, this world is bad, this world is sad, there's something wrong. And he realized that there were forces behind us that were working. So he says, we don't fight flesh and blood, but we fight principalities and powers. With all that in his mind, he wrote this. Finally, verse 10 of Ephesians 6, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God. so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. See, I quoted what Paul wrote. He wrote that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul sees behind people. He sees beyond people. He sees that there's forces at work in this world that cannot be explained in psychology. Cannot. There's something dark and sinister taking place out there. And Paul saw it. Paul knew what it was. He says, we wrestle against these. He said, therefore, because this is happening, therefore, he's talking to the Christians in Ephesus there, in the city of Ephesus, but he's talking to us all. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you can be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you will extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. There's two weapons that he mentions here. The rest of the armor is protective. The helmet, the breastplate, the shield, the belt, the shoes. They're not for attacking. The two things of which we attack the enemy is prayer and the word of God. It says the sword of the Spirit. That's where the scripture comes from that we quoted earlier. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. And Paul says to these people, the Ephesians, stand your ground. In fact, he uses that four times. Stand. 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 When you've done everything, stand. Stand firm then. That's what he's saying. Stand your ground. Against whom? Against the devil. Against the forces of darkness, against spiritual wickedness. Stand your ground and don't give up. I think when Paul was writing this, he got incredibly excited and emotional like I'm doing just now. I'm sure he did. Because it wasn't just, well, now look at you people. Stand your ground. You fight against the enemy. No, he was telling them, get off your bum and fight. Don't keep falling down. Don't keep getting knocked. Get up and stand your ground. And I know a lot of Christians, because a lot of Christians go through some terrible things. Some of you are here. Some of you are being hammered and battered and knocked around. It's like the Philistines are all around you, and you feel like you just want to run. I can't handle this anymore. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning as a Christian, stand your ground. Stand for your family. Stand for your kids. Stand for your spouse. Stand for your good health. Stand for your sanity. Hallelujah. Not many loud amens then, were they? Some of you are trying to work that one out and check that one through. Let me tell you, stand up for what is right in Jesus Christ. Stand for truth. Stand for justice. Stand for that which is right, and oppose that which is evil. Don't let lust drag you down. Don't let fear drag you down. Don't let discontent. These men were discontented that came to David. They were in debt. They were disillusioned. But they came to David. And David, by the hand of God, led them to a great place. Well, Jesus, we've come to Jesus. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He's not in debt. Some of you obviously don't believe that. I better say it again, because perhaps you didn't hear me. Jesus is not in debt. He's not discontented, and he's not disillusioned with you. He's not discontented with you. He loves you, and he's not disillusioned with you. Now, you might be disillusioned with yourself. You might be discontented with yourself. You might feel in many ways you're indebted to so many things, but I'm telling you right now, stand your ground. get up and stand for Jesus and take your sword, the word of God. Take the sword of the Spirit and stand there and think to yourself, one person and God is a majority. Don't let the devil slap you around. Don't let the devil knock you down. Don't let him do that. And I don't care how many, you've heard me say this before, but I don't care how many times you get knocked down, get up again. Something interesting when David was writing this chapter to the Ephesians is talking about a Roman soldier. And what I've read to you now is quite, and a lot of you know this because well, we've said it before, but for those of you who haven't, the Roman soldier had a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, which held his sword, and his feet, good shoes, gospel shoes. But the Roman soldier never had any protection on his back. He had a breastplate of steel, but no protection on his back whatsoever. Do you know why that was purposely done? A lot of armies went into war and into warfare with full armor, not the Roman soldiers, because they were not supposed to turn their backs on the enemy. A Roman soldier was to stand his ground or move forward, never turn and run. And the moment you run is a moment you become vulnerable. More vulnerable than when you're moving forward, because you got the shield of faith with which will quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Amen. You've got the breastplate of righteousness from Jesus, so you can't get condemned by Satan putting you down all the time. Hey, I've got righteousness, not mine, his. My righteousness is no good, but I've got his. And I've got the belt of truth. I got truth. Pilate said to Jesus once when Jesus was talking about it, Pilate stupidly says, what is truth? And he walked away. What a stupid man. He's talking to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And he says to Jesus, what's truth? And he walked away. Didn't even let him answer. What a stupid man he was. And how stupid people are today when confronted with Jesus. He is the truth. Don't you turn your back on him. Don't you walk away from him. Don't you think there's something better than him, because there's not. There's nothing in all this world that can compare with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the best one that there is. He is the living word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God, but Jesus is the word of God. In the beginning was a word, John 1:1 says. In the beginning was a word. The word was with God. The word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then verse 14 says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was a word. The word was with God. The word was God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. You've got the word. Come on. You've got, let your hand freeze to the word. Don't let nobody pry your hand off Jesus. Come on. Don't nobody ever tell you lies and stupidity about Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. There was nothing before him. There'll be nothing after him. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is life. I'm telling you, if you're a Christian, get off your bum and start standing for Jesus. Come on. Don't let these things knock you down. Don't let the devil slap you around. Say, devil, you've pushed me so far, and you ain't pushing me any further. Sometimes you got to get desperate. Sometimes you just got to get a little bit. Are you listening? Is everybody listening to me now? Are you listening? He isn't. He's asleep. But are you listening to me? You've got to get desperate at times. Because if you fall asleep on Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, you'll never be desperate with him. You just let the devil push you around and knock you around. Just do anything that he wants to do with you. Well, stop it. Do you hear me? Stop it. You're not fighting flesh and blood. I'm not telling you to go out there and beat your wife up Or some of you would like to, but you're not doing. I'm not telling you to go out there, beat your husband up or beat your kids up. I'm telling you to start saying, devil, stop pushing. Devil, hold your ground. Devil, don't come any closer, because if you come any closer, you're finished. There's a lovely scripture in the New Testament that Paul says, God will soon destroy Satan under your feet. I love the way he says that. He's talking to the church. God will soon destroy Satan under your feet. I love it. Now, I know I've said this before, but I'm going to say it again because it fits right in good with standing. Most of you, if you've got your own homes, outside your house, there will be a mat there. They call it a welcome mat. Do you know what I'm saying? You can buy them from Bunnings and other places. Welcome mats. And they've got a word on it, welcome. And often I've gone to some houses, I've got muddy feet, and you're supposed to wipe your feet on the mat before you go in. Is that right? So you don't tread the dirt in. So you stand on the mat that says welcome. And I've often felt sorry about that. I thought, I think what we should do is get mats with the name Satan. And before you go in your house, wipe your feet all over him and don't take him inside. Leave your dirt and your filth where it belongs on him. Amen? I reckon whoever's going to start that off in the Christian church is going to make a fortune. I'm telling you. Stand your ground. I know you may say to me, John, it's easy for you to say you're not going through what I'm going through. No, I'm not. I don't know what you're going through. It may be a family problem. It may be a physical sickness problem. It might be a financial problem. You love God. And you know you're a Christian. And you know you're going to heaven. You know that. But you just feel so knocked about. So beat up. And don't know what to do. Well, the first thing, get up. And as you get up, grab your sword. Grab the word of God and start quoting scripture to your situation. And if you don't know any scriptures, see Pastor Pamela or someone else, some of the elders, and say, look, I'm going through this. Find me some scriptures that I can quote. Get the word of God on your lips, not only in your mind, but in your heart. Let the word of God dwell in your heart. Just what the Bible says. I told you the other week, didn't I, that they've discovered now these neurocells that's in the heart. In the 1990s, they discovered that human beings have over 40,000 neuro brain cells in their heart, actually there. So you believe with your heart. You can have passion in your heart. The Bible has been saying this all these years, and people say, oh, it doesn't mean the heart, because the heart's just a pump. It doesn't mean that at all. It's just a way of saying your mind. No, the Bible talks about the mind, and the Bible talks about the heart. It talks about the heart. It says, with the heart, man believes. Faith is more than just resting there. You let it drop down into your heart. There's neuro cells there, and you're believing both in your heart and in your mind. So I'm saying to you right now, whatever you're going through, get up, stand up, take God's word, and start to quote it and start to believe it from your mind and your heart. The worst thing that the devil wants to hear, the worst, is scripture being quoted at him. I can think of just a time when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. Do you remember that? And how did Jesus answer him? Every time Satan came with what did he answer him with? Scripture, the word of God. He quoted scripture. And then he says, and the devil left him for a season. He had to go away. He can't stand being around people. If you got the word of God coming out, not it's in your mind, it's in your heart, it's in your hand, but let it come out of your mouth. Come on, let it come out of your mouth. And I tell you, he ain't going to like that at all. Now, a wonderful thing is that not only do many people have Bibles like this big Bible I've got, but a lot of you got it on there. Now, a lot of you people, are you ready for a telling off? A lot of you people have got Bibles at home stuck in a cupboard somewhere, on a shelf somewhere, gathering dust. And that's okay, provided you've got it on that. But some of you people now have got the Bible on that, and you take it everywhere you go, every single place you go, you take it with you,
but you never read it. Shame on you. That's shame on you. That's worse than even having a Bible somewhere in your house that's gathering dust. When you've got it with you 24/7, God has so blessed us in this day and age, we can have the Word of God 24/7, and you need to read it. More than Facebook.
Yes.
Oh, that's upset a few of you. Pastor John, you should apologize for saying that. You've really offended. I'm not bothered. And even if you're looking at me now, I don't care. I believe the Word of God is more important than Facebook. I believe the Word of God does less damage than Facebook. I believe Facebook can be helpful, but I believe the Word of God is even more helpful. I believe the Bible is a truth. The living Word of God takes us through every time. So I want to be like Eliezer. I want to stand my ground. I want that sword to freeze to my hand. I want to be like Sharma. I want to defend what people think is nothing. I want to defend the cause of God. Listen, don't get me wrong when I say this. I want to defend Jesus. I want to stand up for Jesus. To Jesus, to some people, Jesus is nothing. Nothing more than a lentil patch. He's nothing. Just one of many. Nothing, nothing. Well, he's my lentil patch. He's my Jesus. He's my Savior. My Lord. My healer. He's my God. Hallelujah. And you say, well, what a stupid thing for you to say, defend Jesus. He doesn't need you to defend him. I know he doesn't. But he likes me to. It's not what he needs, it's what he likes. He looks at me, and when I say, one man, one woman, and God is a majority, he likes it. I reckon when he hears you saying that, he calls, Michael, come here. Gabriel, come here, you angel, come here. Listen to all that human being staying down there. That son of God, that son of love, that child of mine. Listen to what they're saying. They're defending me. They're sticking up for me. They're fighting the cause that I came into the world to fight. They've continued that course on, and they won't let the devil slap them around. Amen. Praise God. Well, that was a good sermon, wasn't it?
Yes.
What, don't you think it was? Time's almost gone, but I really feel that there's people here who need to make a stand. You actually need to do something. You know what you're going through. And listen, I'm not belittling that at all, because I know what it is to go through rough times, hard times. I know what it is. I know what it is to be visited with death. I understand. I tell you, I've been a minister for so long, you know the hard side of life. But I'm not belittling what you've got. And I don't belittle what happens to me, but what I say is, I'm not going to let those things that's crowding in on my mind determine my life. They're not going to determine my joy or my peace. My joy, my peace is going to be determined by Jesus. Not by family, not by friends, not by the world, not by politics, not by the forces of darkness. I refuse that. I want to stand my ground for Jesus. I'm going to defend this little lentil patch of Jesus. People may call me stupid. They say, oh, you're a Jesus freak. That's all you are. They may call me, and they have done over the years, but I'm defending my lentil patch. I'm standing where Jesus stood. Friends, we're standing where Jesus stood. Do you understand that? He sent us into all the world to be a complement of what he is to the world, to bring the Word of God to the world. So I'm saying to you now, I don't know what it is, but I really felt God lay this word on my heart. I don't know what it is that you're struggling with. Family, friends, finance, health, lust. I don't know. He knows. I don't even want to know. But what I do want to do is say a prayer for you. And if you are feeling that word's touched me today, I give in too easy. I fall down too quick. I've got to stop. I've got to start and make my stand for Jesus. Because the world's not getting any better out there. It's only going to get worse. You know that, don't you? The world's going to get worse. Well, I'm going to stand for him. So I'm saying to you right now, if you need to make a stand for Jesus, if there's something in your life that you feel is slapping you around and knocking, if you're in that lentil patch, don't run. Don't turn your back on the enemy. Don't do that. Stand your ground and say, devil, I'm here with God's word. Come and get me if you can. Of course he can't. If that's you, and you would like a prayer, get up from your seat. Come on, physically get up and stand. You're saying to God, I'm making a stand for you right now. Just get up from your seats and come and stand here. Come on, I'm challenging you. If you've say, yep, God, you know if God's speaking to you. Don't just stay there if you don't need to stay there. And you may say, but I feel a hypocrite coming out because I failed so much. Hey, come on. Doesn't matter how many times you get knocked down. It does matter how many times you get up. It does matter. It does matter. It does matter how many times you get up. So if you've been knocked down, that's not the point I'm making today. It's you getting up. Anybody, I believe there's others here. I really sense it. God bless you. Thank you. I really believe there's others here as well that should be. Come on, make your stand. You might be making a stand that you might think, hey, this is impossible. How can I stand against this thing? This thing keeps defeating me. I ain't ever going to be conquering this. Well, you can't. You won't, but Jesus will through you. He'll conquer this thing through you. I'm going to pray for these here, but I want to include you. If you're there and you know you should be here, well, don't hang around anymore. Come on, get out of your seat and come, and let's pray with these people. I can't see all of you. It's just a dim, dim thing with the lights. I can't see you. But I'd like to, if God's speaking to you, I'd like you to come and stand at the front. I'm going to pray right now, but I want to include you in this prayer. Come on. I know there's somebody else having a real struggle. Somebody's having a real battle, and you're thinking to yourself, if I go out there, what will people think of me? Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what anybody thinks of you. Just does not matter. But it does matter what God thinks. And if you're going to say, well, God, I've mucked up so often, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to go and stand for you. Well, come on. Come on. Do it in the name of Jesus. I'm going to pray right now. I want to include you in this prayer if it's you. I want to include you. Okay. All you who are at the front, just raise your hands to the Lord just now as I pray for you. Just lift your hands up like that. That's it. I know there's somebody else. I'm sorry. There's somebody else having a battle in their spirit. And one part of you says you should be here. And another part, and it's your pride part, is telling you not to. Well, I don't want your pride to win. I want your heart to win. God bless you. Thank you. Anybody else? Come on, if it's you. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. I want God to win the battle in you today. He's going to win it on your behalf. Yeah, yes, you come. You come. Yeah, God bless you. Thank you. Yeah, Pastor Pamela, would you stand with this lady just here? Amen. I'm going to pray. And everybody in the congregation, reach your hands out to these people here today. Father, you see so many people here. They're going through different battles, different skirmishes with the forces of darkness. A lot of things are not clear to them, Lord. Some things find them hard to understand. But Lord, they know you've spoken to them this morning. They're standing here because they know you have spoken. And so in the name of Jesus, they're making a stand physically now. But I pray that this will be a spiritual stand. I pray as they come out to the front to stand their ground, it will be a spiritual thing, Lord, as they stand with you right now. Lord, some of them may feel alone. Some of them may be feeling lonely even as they stand here. But Lord, you're with them. So they're not alone. They are not alone. You're with them, Lord, and that makes them a majority. And I thank you for it in the name of Jesus. So I pray for each man and each woman that stands here, Father, for a miracle. May the enemy that faces them right now, may the enemy be defeated. Whether that is sickness in the body, whether it's a family problem, a financial problem, a lust problem, temptation problem, a work problem, whatever that problem is, may it be defeated in the name of Jesus. May they stand triumphant on your word, and may their word, Lord, just attack the enemy and bring deliverance to each one of them. I pray that you will set them absolutely free. And the Lord would say to you this day, I will set you free. Don't listen to the doubts in your mind. Don't listen to the devil who right now would whisper to you, just cast those doubts out of your mind. I will deliver you, saith the Lord. I will set you free because you follow me. I know you've been beaten up. I know the devil slapped you around, but I know that your heart is towards me. And I'm not looking for you to be strong. I'm not looking for you to be giants. I'm looking for you simply to make your stand with my word, and I will be your giant. I will be your strength. I will be all that you need me to be this day. Only do not listen any longer to the lies and the deceit of Satan. For the enemy, the thief, comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. So don't allow the devil anymore to steal, to kill, or destroy, but let the wonderful life of Jesus Christ flow in you this day, saith the Lord. So Father, I thank you for that word just now. May each one who's standing here feel a strength that they haven't felt for a long time. As they go from this place today, Lord, may they go in the strength and the joy of the Lord. And we will be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you all. Amen. We hope that you stay and have some fellowship with us and something to eat and drink. Just stay with us for a few minutes and fellowship. Father, we thank you for this lovely service we've had today. Thank you for speaking to us and challenging our hearts. Oh, God. We know without you we're nothing. We know that. We know without you we can do nothing. We know that. But with you, we can do all things. So I pray this congregation will be blessed and strengthened. The pastor, all the leaders here, all the workers and the helpers and everybody that comes, I pray this church will just blossom in you. As Lord, we just sense you causing a blossom to come onto City View. We feel, Lord, like it's a springtime in our church. We just feel there's a freshness and a fresh taste and a fresh odor of the blossoms that are around us, the spiritual blossoms. Lord, may this church go from strength to strength. In you we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, everybody.